Welcome
to
the session 5 in Classroom 2 for workshop Media Ministry that Empowers the Mission. Please welcome our presenter, Jonathan Persaud.
Very good. All
right. I feel bad. They gave me the one right after lunch, so everybody's ready to take a nap now. And like, it's okay with me if you're. It's okay. So. Let me start off with a story. I came into the church where I'm leading the media ministry now about 5-6 years ago, right after COVID had happened. And they were in the middle of a season of transition. One team was leaving, and there was really no team stepping in to take over. And I was at a completely different church before that. And so one week, my brother was like, hey, let's go help the church out. I play bass as well as I lead media. And so we just came to kind of play music, do our thing, and go back to where we came from. But God had different plans. And so over the couple years, we developed a media team from the kind of group of people that were there, and we got the job done. We served every single week. We live streamed. We kept up our live stream. We kept up producing media in terms of in-service and outside of service. But we hit a very critical problem when a lot of our young people went to college. And so during the most of the year, we ended up having less than maybe 5 people on the entire team. And that's because we didn't set up the media ministry as one that would empower the mission. We set up a media ministry that was task-based and more concerned with execution than transformation. And so that's what I want to talk about today. You see, one of the problems in churches today is most churches don't have a media problem. They have a live stream, they have in-service, people are hearing the gospel. They have what's called a discipleship problem in the booth. Because we are so focused on task-based ministry that we are not taking the time to develop the leaders that are inside of our ministry. And that's super important. And so media ministry, to summarize, is not just about running services. It's about developing people, multiplying leaders, and creating disciples. Now, I've seen teams that can do it all. I've seen teams that have great tech. They have all this money in the world that can buy all the tech in the world, biggest LED screens, state-of-the-art sound systems, everything like that. They have great cameras. You can see better than 3D vision. You can smell the live stream because of how good those cameras are. You know? And yet, those ministries end up getting set up by people who are really passionate about this, and then you end up developing a ministry that's reliant on that one person because they're the only people that know how to run that tech. They're the only people that can produce at the level that they intended when they bought that tech. And so we are rising to passion instead of falling to our systems. And so the basis of creating the media ministry is this. You have to create systems and places where you can multiply yourself. You may not be there every week to run your media ministry. I'm having hip surgery on Monday, and I have to leave my team for 2 weeks to fend for themselves, honestly. But now I do have more leaders in my media ministry now than I had entire team members back when I started. Because we kind of hit this point where we were like, you know what? We need to start developing our people instead of just training them to push buttons. And so, a lot of times media ministry gets this rep of it just being tech. It's just support. It's just tasks. We have checklists that we've made up, and we put time and effort into checklists to say, hey, make sure we turn on this light, make sure you start the computer up, log in, run the Pro Presenter, start the pre-service slides, get the service audio running, and yet people are not learning more about Jesus through that. They're just learning how to push buttons. When the sound and media team, honestly, is the most overlooked team and discipleship group in the entire church, in my opinion, and I'm biased because I do run the media, but it's a great place to develop leadership and next leaders who are able to come together and multiply themselves. And so you talk about what does success in media ministry look like? And that looks like people who can replace themselves, because not only are they skilled technically enough, but they are skilled biblically enough and ministerially enough to be able to mentor and grow other leaders and other members. Now, if you sit there and you just sit there and kind of keep the media ministry to yourself, your media ministry can only grow as far as you can reach. Say you're one person with four positions on Sunday morning. The biggest your team can realistically grow to is about 15 people, because you only have four slots for 4 weeks, so 16 total positions for the entire month. But when you start creating a environment and a ministry where people can take ownership of that ministry themselves and develop other people, that is where you can start growing. And then you have people who manage Sunday mornings, people who are reaching out to other people who are growing other people, and people who are more involved than just four positions on a Sunday morning. So, this all sounds good. How do we do it? I have to base my scripture off of this. It is Luke 16:10. I'm pulling from the ESV version. It says, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much." In other words, faithfulness in the small roles will give you the pathway for leadership in great roles. And so again, how do we do this? If you look at your handout, I have three pillars there. Number one is identity before activity. Before they are operators, they are ministers. So how do you do this? Now, what do we mean by that? Before they're operators, the ministers, they're not out there preaching the word through Proper Center. They're not out there, you know, preaching to people and doing altar calls from the soundboard. When I say that they are before they are operators, they're ministers, it means that everything that they do works together for the goodness of what God wants to do in that service or in that time. You're removing distractions. Yes, the pro-presenter person is also leading people because, yeah, the singers are leading people in worship and they will be able to sing along with them in corporate worship, but they will never know what to sing unless the lyrics go up on time. You know, if there's feedback constantly, I had a session earlier where they said that people can deal with bad video, but they can never deal with bad audio for a long time. And so doing audio well means that you are removing distractions and focusing everybody in the room in on what God wants to do and what God is speaking through the minister. Because ministry is not a one-man job, it is a team job. And as media people, we have a very important role in not only helping the people in the building understand what's happening and what God wants to do, but even outside of that building and live stream, recordings, and social media. Amen?
Amen.
So, we don't run sound, we remove distractions so people can hear God. So, we need to develop systems that can develop people. How do we do this? We have a little training. It's not something that we came up with, honestly, it's something we adopted. And it's this: you want people to come in, observe what's happening, then you want to assist them while they try to figure it out, and you showing them the right way. You lead them through that system, and then you can have them train other people to teach others what they learned and how they learned that system. And that is a great way to develop a attainable pipeline into leadership and into ownership of the ministry. It is observe, assist, lead, and train. And remember, if they can't replace themselves, you didn't build a leader, you built just a member who's gonna leave at some point because they're never gonna grow beyond what they do. Now, I've worked both inside the secular world of music and inside the church production world of music, and they're very different. Because in the church production world of music, we have what's called dual fluency. When I worked in the worldly side of music, I was Miley Cyrus's monitor engineer for a couple years. And worked at NBC, and there was nothing Christian about what's going on out there. I'll tell you that right now. But in the church, we have to be able to train people, build people, and lead people in systems that we're putting into place. And that includes helping them learn both spiritual truths as well as technical truths. It's not enough to just tell people, yeah, make sure that you change the lyric while they're singing the last word on the ProPresenter slide so that the next slide can come up in time for them to be able to read it. It's also to tell them that, hey, you're doing this because you have a purpose here and that you're working for Jesus here and you're guiding people along with what you're doing. If you mess up, it's okay to mess up, but it's not just you who it affects. It's not just reflection on this AEV as a bad thing. It was maybe somebody who came to listen and encounter Jesus that got distracted away from it. So, the media ministry holds more weight and depth than a lot of people think. And then I also put there's a perfect mix won't fix a spiritually disconnected room. I always like to say the saying, especially I say it to my wife because she's a worship leader, it's God doesn't care about your perfect worship set. Because unless the Spirit of God moved in that, all you did was perform a bunch of songs. And I didn't say that, I don't mean to say that harshly, I mean to say that in that if God isn't present in what you're doing, then you shouldn't, there's no reason for you to have done it at all. So, what can you do this week? Because we're looking for practical ways to start doing these things. One thing that we just implemented in our tech team is to do pre-service huddles. This is where you kind of quickly go over the order of service, quickly give each person their role, and then kind of focus people in to say that you're going to be on one team and do this together and focus them in on why they're doing what they're doing. Media ministry is not meant to be a rigid place. It can be a fun place. You can do things like we just installed PTZ cameras in our church, and we have Xbox controllers inside our booth so they can control the cameras with those. But, you know, at the same time, it's also to say, hey, make sure when you're controlling that camera that you're also opening it up to 600 people outside who are trying to watch our live stream at the same time and try to get a feel for what's happening in the room. And by operating the camera well, you can really help that connection. And by operating it poorly, you can really distract from that connection. Give feedback every week. It's always good to just go over every service and just say, hey, you were at service, you watched the live stream, what can we do better? What did we not do so hot? And what's something that we did really good that we should continue doing? Those are good things to do at a leadership level, but don't only restrict it to a leadership level. Have your entire team involved in that feedback loop because you never know where the good feedback can come from. Mm-hmm. Create leadership roles. We started by having one leader, head of ministry, then co, and then we started having one person who's the head of sound now, one person who's the head of ProPresenter, one person who's the head of projects, because there's always something to be done, something to be installed, something to be fixed, something to be done over in media ministry. And so one person in charge of projects for us is also great because they can rally teams together to kind of get stuff done. Identify future leaders. This is super important. Because again, if you don't raise up other leaders, your ministry is going to die with you. So it's also super important to be able to identify leaders who they may not have to be the forefront authority on ProPresenter. Like, they don't have to have been the person who coded the entire program together. They don't have to be the most technically skilled person in that area to be a leader. A lot of times what I'm looking for in my leaders are people, yes, who know the job and can do it to a level that we want it to be done, a repeatable or replicable way of doing that job, and then also show up, because it's super important that leaders show up. As presence is key in ministries like media, especially because sometimes we're like the first ones there. And if your leader isn't there and you're showing up before your leader does, that looks really bad. I know if I was part of that media team, I don't want to show up unless the leader's going to be there, so then I'm going to be late while they're also late. Identify future leaders. Identify people who will show up, who have a basic technical understanding of that role, and are good with people. Because if they can't lead and communicate with people, they're not going to make a great leader because no one's going to want to follow them. Okay? And then speak identity over your team. You are not just the sound technician for the morning. You are there to be able to help and push along what God wants to do this morning. You are not just running cameras, you are creating a window into the service so other people outside can also be a part of what's happening in your service, even though they may not be able to physically be there, or they're in a different country, or they're in a different part of the world. And then you're not just running ProPresenter, you are visually focusing people in on what's important. You are visually focusing people in so they know what to sing next. Even though they showed up to church, it looks like a giant karaoke session and we're not sure what we're doing. I give you the honest print. That's what people, when they first walk into church, might think. Because we're just singing songs, the words are on the screen, and do I stand, do I raise my hands, do I sit, what do I do? Great first thing to think about your first person there. But it's super important to say, hey, this is what we're doing, and this is how we can do it well. Okay? So, at the end of the day, you don't want to build a team that runs services. You want to build a team that carries presence and multiplies people. You want to be a team that comes together and produces fruit. Not just the most talented team in the ministry, but a team that produces fruit. And it's super important. I heard somebody say this over a couple weeks, I was watching like TikTok or something, and there was a preacher on there, and she said, the devil can replicate the talents. Because Jesus never said that I will know you by your talents. They said that they will know you by your fruit. That's what the Bible says. And therefore, if you're not producing fruit, how are people supposed to tell that you're different from what the world can do? Okay? So I gave you some action plans to put into effect this week while you're going ahead with it. I also have a couple of leadership reflection questions that I want you guys to think about. What culture exists in your team? And are you developing people or just filling positions? Then as leaders, who are two people that you can start to invest in this week? When it comes to leadership, we have different layers of leadership, and that's the way that we kind of said that we were going to do it as a vision team. And we said that we are going to have kind of like an upside down funnel where we have people come and observe and see what we're doing because it kind of looks cool. We got all the coolest like screens and all the cameras and all the stuff back there that looks LED and everything like that. Those are people who like to come observe because they're just kind of curious as to what's happening in your ministry. Not everyone who's curious is going to join your ministry, but people who are curious are going to want to be a part and kind of have that inkling that maybe God's drawing them to this. Then you have people who serve in ministry. And so the people who are serving will serve the ones above them in terms of the people who are just curious about the ministry. Below that, you have leaders. Your leaders are going to serve the people above them who are serving every week. Because who knows, the farther you go up in leadership in church, the more people you have to serve and the less you can put your agenda into it because you have to do what God wants to do in this, mm-hmm. in this place. And so you have the observers, you have the servers, you have leaders, and below the leaders, you have the people who are pouring into those leaders who are called your multipliers. And so we kind of come up with this funnel to say that we're always going to keep room at the top for more people to join. We're never going to cap off our ministry to say that this is all we can handle, this is all we're going to do because these are only the positions we have. Whether we're coming up with new positions or we're expanding what we're doing, it's super important to make sure that you are continually growing your ministry because you never want to be in that place. And as you grow your ministry, you will grow your people. Because, again, discipleship is called to be, you're called to be people builders. That's what discipleship essentially is. And it's not just to sit there and teach to your people every week about a Bible story and just get it done in 15 minutes before the service begins. That's not what discipleship is. And that's never what it was never meant to be. Because Jesus didn't sit around and try to get out the biblical portion of it out in 30 minutes. No, he kind of sat there and he lived with his disciples. He kind of spent time with them. He went and he lived life with them. That's what discipleship was. And when they had questions about the biblical things that he would teach other people, they got to come to him privately so that he could teach them in his way. Mm-hmm. And that is what you should be doing for your teams. Discipleship. And that is what the basis of discipleship is. I got through this a lot faster than I thought it would. Does anybody have any questions? That was a lot of information. We went through, yeah.
I guess I have a question on, I think one of the challenges we have with recruiting is like, more specifically with slides, like I get people who are just scared. Like a lot of people are like, you can't catch me behind the computer. Like, you look at this morning, like the video froze, and it's like everyone turns around and looks at the video. So it's like, how do you encourage people? Because I'm like, it's for us that are tech, it's all like, well, like, this is using the program. Like, it's not that hard, mm-hmm. but I feel like people who've never seen it, like, ProPresenter is like,
so,
a scary program for them.
It can be a scary program, especially if it doesn't like to behave, which it doesn't like to behave a lot.
Yes. I turned around, I was like, so it's not just me.
No, it's not just you. And I think it's important about creating a safety net for your team by saying that, I know for like people who are coming onto our team, we just had our 21 days of fasting and prayer, and we had a bunch of people sign up for our ministry. And so we're bringing them in now to shadow in our booth during the weeks. And then after they've looked at two services, then they'll work on two services. Well, the leader for that group will be behind them, giving them advice the entire time. They don't have to physically like pay attention to what they're doing the entire time, because a lot of stuff you can run by yourself. Clicking lyrics is fine. Playing videos might be a little bit more difficult. Changing the looks and all that kind of stuff, or the lighting is tied into your ProPresenter. As complicated or as easy as you have it, having a leader close by that isn't necessarily with that position, but is able to help them when they need the help is super important, and it gives them a confidence, because a lot of times with those kind of problems, they repeat themselves. And so the first time may be like, oh my gosh, what do I do? But the next time is like, wait, this happened to me before. I kind of remember how to fix it. And the third time it happens to them was like, okay, I got this. I know exactly how this is going
to
work.
I guess even just getting to the like observing part, like I get people who are like, they don't even want to come in to like, they're like, I don't want anything to do with tech. Like they don't even want to come in my booth. Like I'm like, I'm always like, hey, you want to learn? Like come back here. Like we do a lot of assertions.
They get scared.
They see the lectures.
That's too much.
I mean, a lot of like our newer people are younger people. And so kind of making it like, if you can do a PowerPoint, you can technically run ProPresenter if you really had to try to do it. And we kind of pulled a lot from our youth at the same time. Again, Xbox controllers in the booth, great pulling point for people.
I would say my youth are not the problem.
Yeah,
I'm
it's your older people,
like,
yeah.
It's my adult services where it's we've grown, we've doubled in the last year. So I would say before it was just me and her last year. Mm-hmm. Like at this time last year, we were running either full services, like it was only us. So we have grown and like we've had people come and go, but I just feel like it's such a challenge. Like when I do like, hey, like anyone interested in helping with slides, it's like you can't catch me back there.
Yeah, got you. I guess it's the young people not being the problem is to invite those young people into those adult services and just be like, hey, can you run slides for us this week? And then you'll see it as you open up more, because like, the way I see it, it's like you have to make sure you have like your vision set and your structure set, so it's something that people can easily see and get delve into, and then God usually provides the people after that.
I would just say, I think our church, Warwick Assembly, we're a smaller church as well, we've had problems with that, and like people going to college,
yes.
That's also a problem, because we had a lot of people just go to college. We have an outline. Sometimes that helps, sometimes it doesn't. Just putting it on an outline and like showing everybody this is what you do if this happens. I think that helps. But then there's always the issue that like
something just kind of crashes one week.
Everything breaks.
We see that every week. I have techs who are ready to throw out our encoder that like does everything on live stream. They're ready to just throw it out the window like at this point because it fails so often. And it cuts our service up so off online.
Yeah.
Pray over your equipment before you begin.
Yeah.
Having vision and structure in place, you have the young people, they're going to tell their friends. And they're going to want to be a part of it because they get to do something other than service and having to sit in service. And then some adults just start off with the younger ones and see what happens from there. You might find like our like ProPresenter head person is not the youngest. She has like two kids. She is later in life, and so she is somebody who is very faithful to that ProPresenter computer, and she loves it, and she loves training younger people in it.
I try to tell them, I was like, it's a fun, like you get to be creative too. Like
yeah.
It's not just like, I feel like I always tell my team, I'm like, you're not just clicking a button. Like you are part of bringing the congregation to worship. Otherwise, it's just a concert.
And then also like. Do it like a tech open house. Bring people in when there's not a service happening, when there isn't pressure there, just to have them play around with the equipment in a safe, supervised manner, that's not going to break anything before Sunday. I just have them kind of play around with backgrounds and fonts and lower thirds and all that fun stuff. I just kind of show them like, hey, this is a creative outlet for you too, as well as it's an operational outlet.
How do you make time for discipleship moments between services and training?
So the way that we kind of do it right now is we have two practices a week. We have a Thursday night practice and a Sunday morning practice. What we want to implement now is that, like, on Thursday nights, only the sound people are there usually. But on Sunday mornings, we're bringing our team in at 8:30 for a 10:30 a.m. service. And so we want to kind of do the Bible study with them there. But outside of that, I have leaders, and we have around like four people to a leader where they're intentionally checking in with them during the week. Because I think a lot of like the pitfalls, and especially in those task-based ministries, is that you only contact and talk to people when you need them. And they don't feel ministered to outside of that environment. And they don't feel a connection outside of that environment. And so with that, it's important to kind of say, hey, I care about you. I want to talk to you. I want to know what's happening in your life. I want to hear from you outside of me just requesting you on the planning center to come here on Sunday morning and do your position. And so it's in those bigger group type discipleships and then into like a smaller mentoring, mentee role discipleships as well. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Any other questions? Yes.
So my church is fairly small, but we have a lot of, no offense, Gen X.
Yeah.
So they're all about Facebook and not Instagram, TikTok, you know, all the other social media that we have. And so trying to get my media director to go beyond Facebook is difficult. How do you suggest trying to get us past just Facebook?
I would say, like, look into the way that you're doing things currently and what are the easiest spaces for you to step into next without having to put much effort into it. Because a lot of times if you're, say, you're streaming with OBS or using Encoder, you can do a dual YouTube/Facebook stream.
Right.
And so maybe just throwing it on YouTube 1 week to see if you can start developing a following and just having the content there would be effective. And then when you guys come down to it, like taking that content, and if you guys feel it's worth it, to kind of using smaller pieces of content on other social media sites, like sermon clips on Instagram.
Totally into it, but the rest of the team is like, no, because they're all Gen X. I'm like,
it's okay.
Come on.
There's a lot of good. There is never any good from keeping the word from reaching as far as it can go.
Right. That's all.
And so, the farthest that you can send the word, send it.
Okay.
And don't restrict that flow coming out of what's happening in your church to reaching those in your community and for those outside your community. I know, for example, our church has, we have our YouTube demographics, and we have churches, we have people in the Caribbean, like Trinidad and Tobago and stuff, who are watching our live streams, and we have no clue who they are or how they got our stream, but they're there. If you guys have any questions or want to talk to me further, I left my contact info and my email on the handouts. Thank you for that, and I hope you have a good time.
Yeah,
one last question.
Do you recommend separating? So, like, our worship team, we do our huddle with our worship team. Do you recommend separating our media team from worship team and doing something more specific, or do you feel like it's okay to still be mixed with worship team?
Nothing good ever came from separation and control. And so always to be able to be on the same page in a service with worship and tech together is always a good thing. Our church does 15 minutes before our pastoral team comes in with media and worship, and we always pray before service.
Like our huddles are with
them. And then we would have a second huddle
as
media after that, 5 minutes before service.
Okay.
Thank you, Jonathan. It was very, very insightful. So please use the information provided. And I just have something for you.